أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا أبو القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. السلام عليكم brothers. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to be here amongst you to participate in these programs, especially programs as significant as this one, where we are remembering the Shahadat and the martyrdom of Abi Abdullah and Hussein alayhi salam. These are the majalis, inshallah, these are the nights that will catapult us for the whole year. These are the nights that will keep us strong, inshallah, till next year when we can remember him again. But we need to make the most of them, right? Now, following off of yesterday's speech, today's speech, because I know there's a lot of people who weren't here yesterday that are here today. So today's speech is going to be, it's not 100% based on yesterday, so you'll be able to keep up, and the connection won't be too strong that you won't, what's it called, understand tonight's speech. But those who were here, inshallah, you'll be able to pick up on a few of those connections as well. Now, off of what Haj Naki just said, that Imam Hussein alayhi salam didn't do anything for himself. That it was always for Allah. It was always for Islam. It was always to spread the religion of his grandfather. That his grandfather came and over 23 years struggled, sincerely struggled, to teach Islam, to teach God's message to everyone he could. The Imams after him, Imam Ali alayhi salam, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, and all the way to the living Imam, their job is to continue to spread this message, continue to let everyone become aware of Islam and its beauty. Right, so it's a very interesting statement that Imam Hussein alayhi salam made. He said, when he's talking about his movement being greater than himself, he said, if it's only through murdering me, only through killing me, that the religion of the Holy Prophet could survive, then O swords, take me. Right? It's very powerful. Now a lot of us might make such slogans. We might say to ourselves or say to others, if I was alive at that time, I'd give my life for Imam Hussein, 100%. Not a question about it. Right? Today, if the Imam comes, if he orders me to do something, I'll do it. I will 100% follow his command. Right? The thing with these words of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is he backed it up. We know on the day of Karbala, he showed that this is what needs to be done to save Islam. I will give my life, and he gave it. I remember I was listening to a scholar. He was giving a speech. He was talking about a dream that he had. Right? I wish I had this dream so it could be more personal, but I didn't. So he was saying that the day before, and this person I know personally, right? So I believe what he said. He said the day before this dream, he was thinking about the events in Karbala. And he was saying, if I was there, if I was alive at that time, there's no way that I would not have been in Karbala with Imam Hussein and become a Shia. Right? It's impossible that that wouldn't have happened. He's like, the companions, alhamdulillah, we revere them, and rightfully so. But it's not a question in our minds today where we would have stood. He said after he was thinking this, he went to sleep. And then he, in his dream, he was in Karbala, right, in his dream. And he had this pleasure. And remember the story of when Imam Hussein was praying, some of the companions stood to become a human shield to, what's it called, defend the Imam from arrows that were shot at him, right? And a few of these people died from the wounds of these arrows. They were literally human shields. He said that his task was to do that in his dream. And he said, I stood there, the Imam behind me was praying, and I saw the enemies take the arrow, aim, shoot, and the arrow was going right for me. And I'm staring at the sharp point of the arrow as it's traveling through the skies. You know how in movies they make it slow motion? So it was like that. And it was about to hit my chest, and I moved. Last second I moved, and the arrow went and it hit the enemy. They said, at that moment I knew. It was the agony that you put up with for us and for all the true Muslims. The crimes committed against you shocked and unnerved the dwellers of heaven, one and all. Right? So everyone was shocked. The hardship that he endured for us to save Islam, and the inhabitants of the heavens were shocked by its enormity. Right? Now, think about it. As a regular person, we can't fathom the difficulty that he had. Like, think about it on a personal level. Your family, all of them. Your sons, your brother, your nephews, your friends, all of them on one day being slaughtered in front of you, one after the other. And there's no way that this wouldn't break your back. There's no way that you'd be able to take this, and as Hajnaki said, only think about Allah. Right? You'll, at some point, you'll snap. And not only that, it's worse, because your women and children are there as well. So not only are you bearing the separation that you have from your family members, you're worried about what's going to happen to your women, your daughters, your wives, and children after you're killed as well. So it's not only it's what happened, but it's your thoughts of the future of what's going to happen to them. Right? It's intense. Now, the question is, why did he endure this hardship? Why? Why was this so important? Right? Well, we know that he knew this was going to happen. We know that from before he even left towards Kufa, before he reached Karbala, he already knew what was going to happen. Now, this is a point that's it's clear in our sources. Right? It's there might be some who debate it, but it's pretty much undebatable. There's so much evidence showing that Imam Hussein alayhi salam knew what was going to happen that you can't really argue against that. Now, unfortunately, we do have people who do argue against that. So there's a pretty famous speaker who frequents Australia, and he's of the opinion, and he's mentioned in some speeches, that Imam Hussein alayhi salam didn't know that he was going to go to Karbala and become Shaheed. He was unaware of this. And his proof for this is that Imam Hussein brought his women and children. If Imam Hussein knew what was going to happen, he would not have brought his women and children. He would only have brought himself and his family. There was no need for the women and children. Right? How would we answer that? How would we respond to such a statement? Right? Because in our sources, it's clear. Please recite the salawat to Muhammad wa Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali
Muhammad. Excuse me. In our sources, there's no doubt that the Imams have knowledge of the future. And it's particularly Imam Hussein, throughout his life, was reminded a few times of this. Now, remember that first statement that I mentioned. Imam Hussein says, if killing me is necessary for the preservation of Islam, then O swords, come take it. If killing my family is necessary, it's necessary. If the women being there and having what happened to them afterwards is necessary for Islam to be saved, so be it. Right? And think about it. The musibah that we have when we're talking about what happened to the women is much more painful than what happened to the men. Right? Much more painful. Think about Sayyidah Zainab. Wherever she went, wherever she was taken after Ashura, her words shook the souls of everyone who listened. These words were the beginning of the revolution. Without that aspect, without that dimension, who knows if this story would have reached now. It was necessary. Right? Everything all together, all of it was necessary. Right? Now, the more pertinent question though, how can we benefit from this? And this is what we touched upon a little bit yesterday and we're going to touch upon today. So, the way we benefit from this sacrifice is that we share in it. We grieve for what happened to Imam Hussein alayhi salam and the Ahlul Bayt. That's how we benefit from it. Right? And we cry, right? We imagine ourselves being afflicted with such misery. And then we put it on, right? We imagine it from ourselves as grief, and then we transport it to the Imam who's much better than us, and also one of the awliya of Allah, and that's why it should hurt more. Because it happened to him, not us. But if it happened to us, it would be bad, it would be a tragedy, it would be sad. Right? But to the grandson of the Prophet, that's much more. Right? Now, another phrase from Ziyarat al-Ashura, and this one is very interesting. وَاسْعَلُ اللَّهَ بَحَقِّكُمْ وَبِشَانَ الَّذِي لَكُمْ عِنْدَ أَنْ يُعْتِيَنِي بِالْمُصَابِ بِكُمْ أَفْضَلَ مَا يُؤْتِي مُصَابًا بِالْمُصِيبَةِ. And it goes on. Right? I implore Allah to give me, because of my suffering in you, the best which might have been given to an afflicted person, for the sake of your place before Him and your righteousness and also the hardship I endured in your way. Let me read that first part again and think about that. I implore Allah to give me. So you're asking benefits from Allah. You're asking something from Allah. And in the ziyarat, we'll get to what we're asking. But we're asking Allah to give something to us. Right? For what? Because of my suffering in you. Because my heart breaks because of what happened to you. My suffering is the pain that my heart feels, the grief that I have because of what happened to you. Because when I remember the tragedies that happened to you, it hurts. Right? What are you supposed to give? The best which might be given to an afflicted person. So you're asking Allah, you're not afflicted. You didn't endure this hardship that Imam Hussein did. Right? Your family is just fine. But you're asking Allah to give you rewards as if you were afflicted. Why? Just because you're grieving for Imam Hussein. And remember, yesterday we were talking that some of these actions in this world, Allah has magnified or multiplied their rewards. And grieving for Imam Hussein is one of them. That's why you get so much reward. This is one of the keys to paradise that Allah has given us. Right? This is one of those actions that Allah has blessed us with that, you know, we should all be thankful that we're aware of, that we actually do mourn for Imam Hussein. Imagine all of those people who don't. There's the far majority of this world don't mourn for Imam Hussein. They don't benefit from this blessing that we do. Rather, inshallah, we do. Now, of course, when we want to gain these rewards, our mourning must be sincere. Right? We have to really be cut. We have to really grieve. Right? It's not showing off to others. It's not crying so others can see us. It's not attending majalis because my friends are attending. It's really sincerely being sad for what happened. That's the most important thing. You have to sincerely be sad. If you are, then you're sharing in his grief. Now, the outcome of this is amazing, which is also mentioned in Ziyarat al-Ashura. So we know that the Imams on the Day of Judgment and the Ahlul Bayt and the Prophets, they're going to have a special place. Right? So when everyone's raised and everyone's scattering around like locusts, like bugs, and everyone's thinking about themselves and no one else, we'll glance up and we'll see there'll be an area where the Ahlul Bayt are. And everyone's going to want to be there. Right? This is where everyone's going to want to go. And it's possible to get there. It's not impossible. Right? There's two things we need. One is taqwa. Right? Because without that foundation, we have nothing. And two, if we have taqwa and we add to it this grief and this sorrow and this, what's it called, mourning for Imam Hussein, we can get there. And in Ziyarat al-Ashura, this is what we're asking. Right? So it's a very interesting request that we have in Ziyarat al-Ashura, which I'm not sure if we pay attention to when we read it. It says, وَسْأَلُهُ أَنْ يُبَلِّغَنِي الْمَقَامَ الْمَحْمُودِ لَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. I ask him to take me to the praised station, Maqam al-Mahmood, which you have before him, which you, Ahlul Bayt, have before Allah. So this praise station, this Maqam al-Mahmood, what is this? What is this that we're taught to ask Allah for? Right? Why are we taught? Because this ziyarat comes from the Imams. We're taught to ask this. Now, I know a lot of you know who Sheikh Amin Rastani is. He came for Fatimiyah recently. In his first speech in Muharram this year, he gave a lecture about the authenticity of Ziyarat Ashura. Refer to that, look it up, it's on YouTube. And you can see why this ziyarat is important. Now in this ziyarat, this phrase is one of the most important. Right? This phrase is very telling. Because in all of our sources, there's only one other place that this Maqam al-Mahmood is mentioned. Right? It's mentioned in the Quran as well. وَمِنَ الْلَيْلِ فَتَهَجَّدْ بِهِ نَافِلَةً لَكَ عَسَى أَنْ يَبْعَثَكَ رَبُّكَ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا. And keep a vigil for part of the night, referring to Salatul Layl, as a recommended devotion from you, and maybe that your Lord will raise you to a praiseworthy station. Right? So this praiseworthy station comes with sincere and difficult, what's it called, spiritual struggle. Staying up at night, worshipping Allah. Right? Being one of those devoted servants who sincerely worship Allah over and beyond what's necessary and over and beyond what's normal amongst the mu'min. Right? This is the station that they're granted. Which in Ziyarat Ashura, we're told we could reach this station. We're told to ask Allah for this station, which means that it's a possibility that Allah will give it to us. Right? If it's impossible to get it, we wouldn't be asked to request this. So we could reach that Maqam al-Mahmood. And some of the people who comment upon Ziyarat Ashura say that that's that station in the hereafter where the Imams are. If we want to be there with them, taqwa and sincere mourning for Imam Hussein. Put those together, we can reach there. Maqam al-Mahmood. Look into it. Right? Do some research on Maqam al-Mahmood. See what you come up with. Now, one of the commentators of Ziyarat Ashura said that this concept right here, Maqam al-Mahmood, is what's meant by Imam Hussein being Safinat al-Najah. Being the ark of salvation. That's what's meant. That he, that when you embark upon this ark, when you board this ship, it'll take you to this maqam al-mahmud. Right? So he connects these two different traditions together in this way. So inshallah, I ask Allah, and inshallah we should all ask Allah to enable us to embark upon this ark, embark upon this ark of salvation through the grief and the mourning of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. That we're all able, through this grief and through the taqwa inshallah that we strive to obtain, that we're able to reach this maqam al-mahmud. That when we're raised up from our graves, we'll be taken to the place where the imams are. Imagine that. When you're crying over what happened to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, as the tears roll down your cheeks, right? Think about the blessings that you could be. Think about how much you want to be next to Imam Hussein on the Day of Judgment. Realize that the more your heart hurts over what happened to him, the more sincere your tears are, the better chance that you'll be sitting next to him on the day that really matters, inshallah. So with that, please recite three loud salawats and welcome Hajj Hussein Jaffer to read the musibah, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.